Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today my special guest is Ryan Driscoll, Associate Professor and Head of Musical Theater at the University of Northern Colorado. Thanks so much for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
So, Ryan, we always like to get to know the person before the program. So I want to start with asking you a little bit about your background, your training and career that sort of led you up to your time at the University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah. God, how long do you have? mine's a little kind of, it seems a little disparate and all over the place. I'm originally from Connecticut. I grew up about 10 minutes south of where the Goodspeed Opera House is, if you know the Goodspeed.
Yeah.
I grew up, I suppose, in not a terribly musical household and didn't really discover musical theater until I was in about midway through high school, I'd say. And my claim to fame is when I was in Connecticut, I was about to go into my senior year of high school. I auditioned at an open call for this local production that the Goodspeed was doing of this new musical called Summer of 42. And after a few rounds of auditions, got cast as the lead in the show opposite Idina Menzel. So at 16, I was kind of like thrown into this world that I knew absolutely nothing about. So I performed for a while. I did Summer 42. I graduated high school a little early. Summer 42 moved off Broadway. I was accepted at NYU Steinhardt as a student there in the undergraduate program for vocal performance. I deferred for a year to do Summer 42. The show closed, went to college, performed for a while, realized that I absolutely did not like performing one bit. I love musical theater, but I'm not a performer for many different reasons. So I performed for a few years after college, but while I was in college, I really started becoming really interested in this profession called music copying. And most people don't know what a music copyist does, but music copyists, we prepare all the printed music for the orchestras of new Broadway musicals. So I taught myself the music software program Finale, if you've ever heard of Finale. Mm-hmm. This was a time before musicnotes.com when we couldn't get transpositions on demand, so I was transposing songs for a lot of my friends. Did that for a while, and then about 2 years into after college, I was trying to do some music copy work while I was still performing, and a good friend of mine, who actually was my music director in Summer 42, her name is Lynn Schenkel, who's still a good friend of mine today, she was about to be the music director of Crybaby on Broadway, asked me if I would be one of the music assistants. So I helped them out a little bit, and through there, I met the supervising music copyist of the show. Her name was Annie Kay, and her husband, Doug Houston, of Kay Houston Music. And I was emailing them, actually, when I was at Bristol Riverside Theater in Bristol, Pennsylvania, doing a production of Jerry Herman's Dear World. And I said, I'm really interested in this. If you ever need any extra hands, by all means, let me know. Annie wrote me back in, I think, about 5 minutes and said, it's so funny you're reaching out. We're about to start work on the Broadway production of Shrek and we need extra people. Would you want to work with us? And so I literally said yes. I'll never forget. These are the days before there was Wi-Fi. I was at the library in Bristol, Pennsylvania, and I checked that email. And I ran upstairs outside, and I called my parents. I was 24 years old, and I said, I'm retiring from performing, and I'm going to become a music copyist. To which my father said, what the hell is a music copyist? And so I basically kind of let go of performing at that point. And then I worked with Annie and Doug. I've now, I don't work with them anymore, but I worked with them for almost 10 years, I think. I've worked on about 20 Broadway shows as a music copyist. I started with Shrek with them. We did Addams Family, Big Fish, just to name a few. And then in, I want to say 2013, 2014, I decided to go back to get my master's degree. The funny thing is that my career was headed more towards music copying, and yet my academic career was always voice. I was a singer, and I suppose a performer, even though I didn't really care to have an audience in front of me when I was doing it. So I decided I wanted to go back and get my master's degree because I really wanted to teach. I loved teaching. I was volunteering at a secondary school in Harlem, putting on some of their shows there while I was copying. And so I went back to my same program, to NYU Steinhardt. I got my master's in voice with a specialization in musical theater, and I also got a certificate of advanced study in vocal pedagogy. So from there, right after I graduated grad school in 2015, I was hired as an adjunct at NYU Steinhardt to teach musical theater song analysis, which is basically acting the song. And then a year after that, a full-time position came up at NYU. I applied, I got the job, and became the assistant director of musical theater at NYU Steinhardt. And then 3 years after that, I came out here to Colorado to head up the musical theater program here at University of Northern Colorado. So that, in a very long nutshell, has been kind of my very random, but also in a weird way, career that makes somewhat kind of sense at the same time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. How exciting. I was going to ask you about the copyist work too, because that's something that I think that a lot of people don't know, what that is, what that means. Really, really excited to have you join us today and chat a little bit about that and help educate our listeners on that as well. That's awesome.
Sure.
Let's now transition a little bit into talking about the program. So what is the degree that you offer, or degrees that you offer, in musical theater at University of Northern Colorado?
So at UNC, the degree, it's a BA, actually. It's a Bachelor's of Arts in Musical Theater. I think I'm allowed to say this. There's been some pretty significant talk about moving over to a BFA within the next year. So I think it looks like we're going to be moving over to a BFA. The ironic thing is that our curriculum really isn't going to change, because we're basically offering a BFA degree right now disguised as a BA degree. So it's a BA in musical theater. It's pretty comprehensive. It's about 33 between voice, acting, dance. But there's also a decent amount of liberal arts requirements, which I'm a big fan of when it comes to a college education. I don't quite know how you want to study and perform, and basically your task as a performer is to understand the world, basically, and understand problems and solve objectives and understand what people are going through in order to give an honest performance. I don't know how you do that without some sense of a liberal arts education as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's always been really important to me, both when I was at NYU teaching there and then here at UNC as well. So it feels like a BFA degree, just disguised with what you get, at least right now, is a BA degree.
Great. So talk to us about some of, you just said the highlights of the getting a liberal arts education in there is a benefit of this program. What are some of the other sort of benchmarks or highlights of your program that are appealing to the students that go there?
Yeah, one of the things that I've really done in the past 2 years, I'm now in the middle of my third year as head of the program here at UNC, and we did a big overhaul of the curriculum about a year ago. And a lot of it, I have to say, has come from my own training, my own experience, being able to work on so many Broadway shows, but also kind of understanding, I think, as both a being on both sides of the table and understanding what a performer needs. The big thing that we did is we're trying more and more to integrate everything that the students do. So it's not just you walk into a voice lesson and all you do here is take a voice lesson. And that feels very separate from what you're doing in your acting classes. It's become more integrated. And some of this I took from my mentor, who ran the program at NYU Steinhardt for many years. His name was Bill Westbrooks. I took a lot of this from him. So a lot of our curriculum now, like I said, is more integrated. Students are now going through a 3-semester track called musical theater song analysis, similar to what I was teaching at NYU, but a little bit more comprehensive. every single semester of those three semester tracks, students are basically, it's an acting course, but what the students are doing, they're bringing in what they've been doing in their voice lessons with me or one of their other voice teachers. And it's a voice and acting course. And so it's understanding that the only way you can really truthfully, fully live inside a character is to have such a command of your voice that you don't have to worry about it. And that takes a lot of practice outside of the acting room. And so you're bringing what you're doing in your voice lessons into your coursework, into your acting work as well. And one of the exciting things about it is it's all progressive. So the first semester, it's nothing but pre-1943, pre-Oklahoma, Irving Berlin, George Gershwin, understanding the roots of where we came from. Second semester is then all the golden age of musical theater. And then the third semester is all contemporary musical theater and non-theater genres, pop, rock, things like that. Because we all know that, of course, that's really where the industry is going this, in this generation. And our students need that type of training. So it's a progressive, the word that I like to use a lot, it's a very holistic education that I think the students are getting, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, great. At what point do the students work directly with you? As head of the musical theater program, you probably have things that you have to do outside of just teaching. So when do the students actually interact with you?
Right now, the way the curriculum goes right now, students start working with me in their sophomore year. I teach voice lessons to all the sophomores, and then I also teach all of these song analysis courses that I talked about, which start in their sophomore year. So the idea really is in the freshman year, which I think is the way it should be, it's foundational courses. They're taking, freshmen are taking the liberal arts courses, and they're taking ear training and sight singing and piano, and they're starting their voice lessons. And so in the sophomore year is when they start with me. I wouldn't say it's a more rigorous training, but it is, I think, like I said, the way it should be. I think freshmen need to get the foundational tools first, and then it feels like in sophomore year we really start to dig in. So they start with me in their sophomore year.
Great. And let's dive a little deeper into performance opportunities as well. The question that students usually always want to know: are freshmen able to perform? And I don't know where I sit on that, is whether or not that's a great thing, but tell us what UNC does.
Well, yeah, I think based on what I tell you, I think my philosophy, and this is going to come out very quickly. This was a new rule, a new policy that I implemented last year in my second year here as head of the program. Freshmen, first semester freshmen are not allowed to audition, nor are they allowed to be in first semester fall shows. Freshmen have more than enough to worry about. Our auditions for our fall shows occur the first day of the semester, of the fall semester. For a freshman, that is so much. When you're just learning how to live on your own, you're learning how to get to your classes, this and that, they have enough on their plate. Plus, at the same time, I want to make sure they're getting some voice lessons, they're getting their acting training in their first semester before they start diving into shows. So after their first semester, at the end of the fall semester, freshmen, along with all other students in our program, are required to audition for all of our shows. That's our plays and for our musicals. You're required to audition. However, if you don't want to be considered for any of the shows, you can make it known to the production team that you don't want to be considered. But you have to audition. So that's the idea. So every other semester, other than first semester freshman year, students are required to audition, but they don't have to be in the shows if they don't want to be.
Mm-hmm. So are there, in addition to what, I don't know if you call them main stage, but what most schools call main stage productions, are there outside opportunities as far as student-led productions?
Yeah, there are. UNC has a ton. I could be wrong with this number. I want to say there's around 15 student groups.
Wow.
At UNC. So yeah, there's if that number is wrong, all I'll say is it's a lot. We do two musicals every year, one in the fall, two main stage musicals, I should say, one in the fall, one in the spring. And then we do two plays every semester. And then we do one dance concert every academic year. Those are the main stage productions that we do. And then as far as student groups, student productions, we have a sketch comedy group. We have an improv group. Some of our we have one group. They produce musicals, so they're given a small stipend to purchase royalties, rights from MTI, something like that. And the students will put on a show. They direct it. They music direct it. Students are cast in it. Our students, just this past fall, at the end of October, they did a production of Songs for a New World that went really, really well. So there's a lot of performance opportunities, even for the freshmen, those first semester freshmen who aren't allowed to audition for the main stage shows. They can get involved very, very quickly with a lot of other opportunities on campus. And at least when the ones that students are singing in, I can't go so far as to say there's oversight from me, but the students know that they need to check in. They need to make sure that they're rehearsing their material with me or with their voice teacher, so that there's a little bit of making sure that what they're doing is still appropriate and within the bounds of what we want to make sure that they're learning, I suppose.
Right. And are the musical theater students, as far as main stages go, is it all musicals, or do they also get to do straight plays?
No, the students are required to, they get the opportunities to audition for the plays as well. So all the students, again, other than the first semester freshmen, they have to audition for all the plays and all of the musicals as well. So they have to audition for everything. Yeah.
Right. Right. Now, normally my question when we're talking to BFA programs is, what is the opportunity for students to either minor or double major in something else? With a BA program, that's generally much easier to do. You said, however, that you are a BFA program disguised as a BA program, which is exactly what James Madison University says as well. So tell us what that looks like as far as the opportunity to minor, explore things outside of the arts at UNC.
Yeah. Yeah, minors are very, very easy for our students. I can't give you an exact number, but I'd say I would guess over 50% of our students are minoring in at least one other area.
Great.
A lot of our students decide to get a dance minor. There's a lot of dance. If you don't minor in dance, if you just do the musical theater curriculum, you're getting at least one dance class every single semester. Many of our students want more than that, so they'll minor in dance. So they get more intensive dance training. There's some choreography classes. There's more ballet. There's more tap, things like that. So they can minor in dance. But again, some of my students, I have a few students who are minoring in American Sign Language. I have one student who's minoring in hospitality. UNC has a really great sports exercise science program. Some of our students have minored in that. So one of my students just the other day, he's a freshman. He's really interested in vocal pedagogy and in voice science. We have an incredible audiology and speech pathology program at UNC, so you can minor in that. Minors are very easy. A lot of our students minor. Here's what I will say about double majors, at least in our program. Double majors are very, very difficult. What I say to my students is I will never prevent a student from double majoring, but I won't ever recommend it. The reason being is that there's so many requirements in our musical theater program. Excuse me. There's so many requirements in the musical theater program that in order for them to double major, they are going to be so overworked that many of the students have said that they just don't feel like they're a part of any program. And the problem is that if you're double majoring, you really don't have the time to be in some of our shows. If all of a sudden you get cast in one of our shows and you have rehearsal till 11 o'clock at night, when are you going to do your schoolwork for this English double major that you're getting or something like that? Now, if you want to do a double major in 5 years, the joke that I always say is, we'll happily take your money. You can do a double major in 5 years. A double major in 4 years is really, really tricky, and I really don't recommend it, mostly because of the students' physical and mental health. I'm worried about their well-being more than anything, and I think it just becomes too stressful. Right. So that's what I would say about double majors.
Right. Are your shows open to the entire student population?
They are. They are. Yep. Anyone is, for any of our main stage productions, any student is technically allowed to audition. Yep.
You say technically allowed. Have you ever had that science major pop in and suddenly be a lead in one of the musicals?
That's a good question. I can't. The funny thing is, so like I said, I'm in the middle of my third year right now, and in my second semester is when COVID struck and everything kind of went crazy. So we're just now getting back to true main stage productions, although our students right now are still masked for main stage productions. So I don't know historically before I came here if students outside of the program, the musical theater program or the acting program, have been in main stage shows. I don't think there have been any since I've been here, but again, about 2-3 of those semesters, we weren't doing main stage productions because of COVID. I can tell you, we just did a production of Rent in the fall, and one of the soloists in Seasons of Love, one of the ensemble members, she was actually an acting major. So we do get students outside of the musical theater program, perhaps in one of the other performance degrees. I don't think we've had any outside of the School of Theater Arts and Dance where our program is housed. But I don't know before, you know, my tenure here, whether or not that was true.
Great. Let's chat a little bit about the area where the school is. I usually say on the podcast that eventually the student will leave the campus at some point during their 4 years. So it is in Greeley, North Carolina. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. So tell us about that area.
Yeah. So here's the one thing I will say. So I grew up in Connecticut, but I moved to New York when I was 17 years old and I lived there for 18 years. And so I grew up in New York as an adult, never thinking I was going to want to go anywhere else. Loved the city. You know, I wanted the cement. I wanted this. I wanted that. I have moved out to Colorado and I have absolutely fallen head over heels in love with it. Greeley is about an hour drive northeast of Denver. So Greeley is one of the larger cities in the state of Colorado. It's still, I would say, in the middle of it's still in the plains. Greeley is not in the mountains, I will say that, but Greeley is considered part of the Front Range of Colorado. The Front Range is basically right where the mountains start. Greeley itself is the campus itself is absolutely lovely. And the minute you get outside the campus and you go outside of Greeley, you drive a half an hour and you're in Fort Collins. Like I said, you drive an hour and you go to Denver. You're about 45 minutes from the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. It's an absolutely just stunningly beautiful, beautiful area. There's nothing like getting on, you know, some of the roads, Route 34 that goes west towards the mountains. You get the right time of day and the view is just not to be believed of the Rocky Mountains. So I can say is I have fallen head over heels in love with Colorado. I don't live in Greeley. I live in I live right outside of Fort Collins in a small town called Windsor, but basically Fort Collins, which I just absolutely adore. So, it's a pretty beautiful place. The climate's amazing. People think Colorado gets a bad rap because we get bad snowstorms. We really don't. And when we do get a snowstorm or two, because we're so high in altitude and it's so dry, the snow just evaporates within 24 hours. The climate's pretty great. We really don't have any humidity. And, you know, like I said, growing up on the East Coast, the humidity was horrible. So it's a pretty great place to live. I will say that. Colorado is pretty fantastic.
Great. So tell us about like the actual, you said in which directions to drive to go to other places, but are there things to do in Greeley? Is there like a downtown area? Is it mostly just nature?
No, there's a downtown area in Greeley. Greeley has a lot of Greeley's known. There's a meat packing, very, very huge, like for the whole country, a meat packing plant in Greeley. So Greeley has a big agricultural sector to it. But no, there's a lovely downtown section in Greeley. I can't speak to Greeley a lot because I really don't know it well because I don't live there.
Okay.
Like I said, I live about 30 minutes west of Greeley. But no, it's you know, it's a great town. Is there a ton to do? Like if you're going to be in Denver or Fort Collins? No, I can't go so far as to say that. But you're so close to all those other cities that it's, I mean, Greeley's a, it's a lovely place. And most of my colleagues live in Greeley and they like it very much. So yeah.
Great. Let's talk about the application and audition process. Give us sort of a, just start with an overview. What does it take to apply an audition for the program?
Yeah. So you have to apply, you have to apply to the university, first to UNC. And then, so it's a two-part process. You apply to the university and then you audition for our program. Mm-hmm. That's basically the way it works as far as the general application process. Mm-hmm. I can tell you a little bit about our audition process. Again, these are some new policies that I implemented, within the past year. For the audition process, students are required to sing two full songs. One song has to be written before 1970, and it has to be from the musical theater genre. The second song can be from musical theater and can be written after 1970, or it can be any non-musical theater genre from any time period if you'd like it to be. The reason why I asked for that is that with a pre-1970 song, I want to know that you know musical theater. And I want to know that you can sing. A lot of the material that's written pre-1970 is more legit material. And I think sometimes we all get really wrapped up in more contemporary musical theater. And I think sometimes it's very easy to be able to get away with certain things. I think sometimes, you know, some of that music, you can speak sing through a little bit more. I want to hear you sing a legit musical theater song from the Golden Age. And then I want you to have the opportunity to sing something else, to sing something more contemporary, or sing something else that you really connect with. If that's like a gospel song, if you were brought up in the church, or if that's a pop rock song, I want to hear what you connect with as well. So we ask for those two songs. Then you also have a 60-second monologue, at least a 60-second monologue. And right now there's no dance requirement. However, that might change in the next few years if we do go to a true BFA degree. The other thing that I always like to mention, neither headshots or resumes are required for auditions. I'm not really interested in where you've come from. I'm interested in where you are and where I think you can go. I also think the idea of looking at someone's resume, everyone comes from different backgrounds. And I think some people have had the privilege of having a ton of training when they were younger, and some people maybe didn't have the means to be able to do that. That doesn't mean that the people who didn't have the training don't have the talent and the skills to be able to study this. And so when you walk into the audition room, I don't want to have any bias towards what you've done. I want you to present to me what you do in that room. And the other thing that I say to all the students is that be prepared to work with me in the room. I'm not one of these faculty members where you come in, you slate, you give a 32-bar cut, and then you walk out of the room. No, this is, you're interviewing me as much as I'm interviewing you. I want to work with students a little bit. Let's try this. Let's see this. What does that feel like? Does that feel different to you? Great. Those are the things that we'd like to do in the room. I want to get to know you a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I always tell students, don't be scared if I work with you. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. It means I just want to get to know you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that's my way of getting to know you more instead of just looking at a resume and what you've maybe done or not done, you know?
Where do you actually hold the auditions?
The in-person auditions are held on campus at UNC in Greeley. We accept a lot of video auditions, so there's a lot of video auditions. There are sometimes, if you submit a video audition, I will ask to have perhaps say like another, if you can't make it on campus for an in-person audition, we'll do a Zoom chat and we'll try some things over Zoom if I want to work with a student, if I didn't get the information I'm looking for from your videos. So video auditions, we travel a lot. We go to LA Unifieds. We go to a number of thespian conventions, especially in the West. We go to Texas Thespians, Arizona, Colorado, of course. And then it kind of changes every year. I also travel around quite a bit. Back in September, I went with our recruitment coordinator. We actually took a trip to the island of Oahu in Hawaii to do a whole bunch of recruitment trips out there. I gave a bunch of master classes to, I think, 4 or 5 high schools, something like that. And I think next year we're actually going to set up some auditions in Hawaii as well for the students who can't make it to the mainland.
I will gladly go to those auditions for you if you need anyone to stand in. Hawaii, that's incredible. All right. So let's chat now a little bit about numbers. We always like to ask the schools just to give, I think that musical theater students especially hear horror stories about how many auditioners there are out there and what kind of talent pool they're up against. So talk to us first about just the numbers that you're dealing with every year. How many applicants do you receive? How many live auditions do you see? And then how many are you passing through?
Yeah. I'm so bad with these numbers. Here's what I can tell you. What I've been told by our recruitment coordinator, we get approximately 1,000 applications every year for our program. We probably audition maybe in like the 600-700s, I would say, students between the thespian conventions, the in-person auditions, the video auditions, everything. Our freshman class is usually a goal of 20 students every year. So the program has approximately around 80 students. You know, we gain a few transfers. We lose some students who find other interests in other places. But most of the classes are around 20 students, and that's the goal we look for our freshman class. We don't want it to get overloaded so that the students have, you know, enough one-on-one experience with each of their professors. Mm-hmm. Around 20 students, I don't want to scare students, but I will say that UNC is fairly competitive. So mm-hmm. we audition a lot of students.
Yeah. And if UNC is on one of my students' lists, what should I tell them mm-hmm. That you're looking for? What's the thing that's going to make the student stand out to you?
I love this question. This is my favorite question to answer. Here's what I tell prospective students. Please, 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 God, do not perform for me when you audition. I am not interested in you trying to scream sing through defying gravity because you think it's going to impress me. I'm not impressed that way. Everything that my philosophy of this program, and one of the things that I'm proudest about is that what I am interested in is honest, organic communication. I'm interested in human beings up on stage solving problems. That's what makes audiences empathetic and makes us sit on the edge of our seats. That's what I want to see you do in the room. If that means what you connect with and what you feel like you can really do best is a 32-bar Irving Berlin song, my goodness, I want to see that so much more than you trying to scream sing, I keep going back to it, but defying gravity. I'm not interested in that. I say to all of my students, don't ever be dishonest for me. If you're singing a song and you're performing without any sense of honesty and you're on the other side of campus and I'm in my office, I will snuff you out. I will know it. Don't do it. I'm interested in human beings who go to bed every night thinking about this and who wake up every morning thinking about this because this is how they connect with the world. That's what I'm interested in, communication. So don't perform for me. That's the biggest thing. Don't try to impress me. I know this may be a harsh statement. It turns me off. I'm just not interested in that. Yeah.
I feel like maybe there's a 17-year-old girl somewhere out there that once performed Defying Gravity for you that's living rent-free in your head now that you're looking back on.
No, I swear she's not. And listen, let me say to that, if there's a student out there listening to this who's auditioning for UNC and does a killer Defying Gravity, of course, by all means, sing it. But don't feel like you need to do that if that's not the type of song you connect with. That's what I'm saying more than anything.
And like I always say, that do not sing list does not apply to college auditions. If it's your best, show your best. But if you are going to do something that's on that elusive do not sing list, it better be your best. And you better do it better than anyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
So as we start to wrap up here, tell us something that you're looking forward to coming up at UNC.
A few things. I can't announce it yet, but we've got some really exciting stuff coming up next semester or next year for our shows. Listen, here's what I will say more than anything, and I wonder if some other people you've interviewed have said this. I think we're all just excited to get back on stage right now, to be perfectly honest, more than anything. Next semester, we're going to be doing our main stage production of Something Rotten, which we're really, really excited about. I think students are just excited. You know, we're slowly getting back on stage. Like I said, right now, we're still masked, but we're evaluating that every single day. So we're really excited about that. I also think coming up, we're changing our all of our seniors do a senior showcase, but that's moving to virtual now. I actually think even before the pandemic, I wanted to move us to virtual for multiple reasons. But I'm actually really excited. We're still doing a New York City trip with our students, but this time it's going to be less pressure. Their showcase will be filmed. It'll be done. But we're actually going to go back and I'm going to show them around the city. And we're setting up master classes with all of my colleagues that I've worked with for years and years on Broadway shows. And we're going to show them neighborhoods and where they might be living and this and that. And I'm super excited about that. It's the part of the job that I enjoy that I feel like I can show and give to my students the life that I lived in New York for 18 years and to be able to impart some of that wisdom on top of the education and all the academic and, you know, academic and talent training and everything else they got. So I'm really excited for our trip to New York. I'm excited that students are going to get to do Something Rotten. From what I understand, I think it's one of the first in Colorado to do Something Rotten. I think I could be wrong about that. But I think we're just excited to start, you know, being in rooms with people again and making making music again with each other more than anything right now.
Yeah. Awesome. So if people want to find out more information about University of Northern Colorado, what's the best way to get in touch?
Probably the best way to get in touch is our website, unco.edu. I think east of the Mississippi, I think a lot of people hear me keep saying UNC and they think University of North Carolina. West of the Mississippi out here, UNC is University of Northern Colorado, but our web address is unco.edu. You can find our program right there. You can find a link to, you know, my information, my bio, my contact information. Our recruitment coordinator, you know, you can reach out to me or anyone in the School of Theater Arts and Dance, which is where the musical theater program is housed. You can reach out to any of us and be happy to answer any questions.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Ryan, thank you so much again for joining us today and helping us learn a little bit more about your program.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to do it.
All right. Well, we will be in touch very soon and look forward to seeing you at some point in the future.
Thanks.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.